right. Well, like I said earlier, good morning to all of you. Boy, do I love this weather, the temperature. Thank you again, Lord, for the rain. Thank you for being here. Those of you that are here for the first time, again, welcome to Ledge Rock Community Church. Super glad that you are here. I have been doing a sermon series I've called Reenactment, and a couple weeks ago we began looking at believer's baptism and what believer's baptism actually is. And obviously it's a first act of obedience when we confess and trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior. We then follow His example by being immersed in water. And what that really is a picture of our death of the old self, burying of that old self, and being raised up as a new creation in Christ. That's just a beautiful picture, a reenactment of our faith story. And so we kind of launched then into the 12th chapter of Romans, and that's where we are at today. But I've been sharing with you a little bit about growing up in central Illinois near a place called Crèvecœur. Way back when it was called Fort Crèvecœur. And as a little one, my folks took, probably my sister and I don't remember if she was along or not, but I remember going to see a living reenactment. People that had come from all over the country and gathered in this historic old fort and dressed up in period costumes and had their tents set up and had all their stuff on, and they just lived like people did in this case back in the fur trade era, the 1700s, just touching into the early 1800s. And as a kid, it was so neat to get to go and walk through this, just be a part of living history, folks walking all over and carrying big knives and tomahawks and guns and just really, really neat stuff. And I can still remember the smell of the campfires burning and the food that was cooked. I've shared the last several weeks about just the how neat it is to go and observe living history, a reenactment like that. And so I am thoroughly convinced that over the last couple of weeks, maybe just now this morning, I have sold you on the glory, the fun, the power of a reenactment. Am I accurate in that?
Amen.
All right, good. I think that if nothing else that you've gained from the last couple of weeks, that reenactments are neat. Neat to observe. They're maybe even fun to be a part of. So help me out here. I need your imagination. I need you to just think for a moment. Let's pretend that I am right, that I did sell you on reenactments. And now, after attending Ledge Rock Community Church, you want to be a reenactor. You want your own stuff. You want to go out and become a reenactor, be a part of living history. Okay, now envision with me that the greatest reenactor that's ever lived, greatest of all time. In fact, you could call this reenactor the king. The king of all reenactors. He knows that your heart, you want to reenact too. You want to be a part of what's going on at Fort Crèvecœur or up at Grand Portage. You want to be a living history example. You want to be a part of a reenactor. And so this greatest reenactor, this king of all reenactors, gives you everything that you need to be able to be a reenactor. I mean, this king of reenactors gives you the cotton canvas shirt and the little red sash and the buckskin leggings and moccasins. He even gives you a perfect birch bark canoe.
Wow.
Take me along with you when you go paddle it, would you? That's my dream. Someday I want to paddle in a birch bark canoe. He gives you the cool canvas tent and the cast iron stuff to cook your food over the fire. He gives you everything you need, but not just the stuff you need. He gives you the perfect stuff. Fits perfect. It's the perfect for the period. He gives you everything that you need. Now you own all these items gifted to you by the king of reenactors. You believe in reenactment. You think that it is a good thing. In fact, you want to be a reenactor, you want to engage in reenactment. Now you possess all the stuff to go do it. Are you a reenactor? At that point, are you a reenactor? No. You have to actually go do it. Believing in it isn't enough. Having the stuff to do it isn't enough. you become a reenactor when you actually get in your, well, get on your horse and ride to the reenactment with all your cool stuff. How would you portage the canoe on a, I don't know. But anyway, you become a reenactor when you actually go and do it. You have to actually use your gifts. Now, as I said a minute ago, we've been engaged in this reenactment sermon series. Last week, we looked at the reenactment that takes place when you and I, from the beginning of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, when we live as a living sacrifice to our Savior, because of who God is, because of what God has done for us, which happened in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, all of God's grace, all of God's mercy, what He did for Jews and Gentiles alike. Gentiles are people that are not Jewish, all separated from a holy, perfect God by our sin. The first 11 chapters speak to how God, in His infinite, amazing grace, gifted us with Jesus to save us from our sin and the terrible consequences. And now, in Christ, we're given a new life, access to God the Father, forgiven of our sins, and made perfect in God's eyes. Amazing. Then in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, then we're called to live as a living sacrifice. And the challenge last week was to reenact our faith every day. Reenact our testimony, who we now are in Christ. Who we used to be is dead. Now we're alive in Christ. We are to live as a living sacrifice. That's a reenactment. Every day for believers, reenacting who we are. Today, we're looking at how to be a living service because of who God is and what He's done. Romans chapter 12. We'll be in verses 3 through 8 here today. Quickly set the stage for those of you that haven't been here, don't know. Romans is one of my favorite books, by the way. Philippians chapter 2, one of my favorite chapters. The passage we just read, Isaiah, one of my favorite books. You guys are getting it. I love God's Word. I love Scripture, whatever we're talking about. It's my favorite. Love it. God's Word will change your life. Romans, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, made up of Jews and Gentiles alike. Lots of different people. They'd been separated for a while. When the Jews came back, paganism, worldliness had entered the church, and they had some difficulties, to say the least. Paul wrote this letter to correct those, to share truth, gospel truth, doctrine, key theology, in this book of Romans. That's what you get when you read the book. Again, the first 11 chapters speaking of who we were, who Christ is, what God did for us, and how we're made new. Now, 12 through the end of the book, is living that out, living as sacrifices for Christ. That's where we're at. Today, Romans chapter 12, picking up in verse 3. Follow along with me. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who were many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving, with generosity. Leading, with diligence. Showing mercy, with cheerfulness. Pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and this chance to gather in this place together. Father, we thank you for who you are, for your word to us. Lord, I thank you for this message that you've given to me and laid on my heart. And oh Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would fill this place with your Spirit. Lord, I ask you to open up our hearts and our minds to more clearly understand who you are and what you've done, and then now what you have created and called us to do for you. Father, move among us this day and be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, and the whole church said. Amen. The point to today's message is that any born-again believer, any disciple of Jesus can live a life of living service, reenacting their faith and living out service by understanding what's going on in this passage of Scripture, in this biblical text. And the first point, for those of you note takers, and by the way, I love you note takers. Diana's down here just writing fervently, like, how can I keep up with them? So I'll talk slow. But I won't talk slow. God didn't create me to talk slow. We put 10 gallons of stuff in a 5-gallon bucket every week. Thank you for laughing at my jokes. The first point is to realize that we have been given a gift. And we're going to go backwards through the Scripture. Verse 6, the beginning of verse 6, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. Boy, I could spend so much time on this. I'll do my best. Salvation. The Bible teaches that in our sin, we are dead, separated from God. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the consequences of our rebellion is sin and death, both now and forever and ever. And so the Bible then teaches that if we realize our sin, we cry out to our God, we confess our sin, we ask Jesus to forgive us, that He will then forgive us, and He will come and live inside us in the presence of God the Spirit, and we will be cleansed and made new and forgiven of our sin, and that the old life is dead and we're a new creation in Christ. It's amazing. If you haven't done it, talk to me after worship. We have to settle this because it is truly amazing. We're made new from the inside out. We were dead, and now we are alive in Christ. And then those that are truly followers of Jesus will rule and reign with Christ as kings and queens for all of eternity. It's the greatest thing we can ever do. But then the Bible says we are indwelt by God Himself. God the Spirit fills and lives inside true believers. Jesus is super clear. If you do not have the Spirit, you do not have salvation. It's that you have salvation, you have the Spirit. No Spirit, no salvation. When God comes into us, He gifts us with things by His grace. I love Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. 8 and 9 say that we are saved by God's grace. His grace is the reason we can be saved, by our faith. It is not by our works, so that none of us can brag. We can do nothing about it. We like Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, saved by grace through faith. That sounds pretty good. But then verse 10 goes on. Verse 10 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared ahead of time. The first point we have to know is realize that we have been given gifts by God and empowered for those gifts by the presence of God inside us. Verse 6, I'm just going to read the whole 6, 7, and 8. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. And then he lists them here. Now bear with me. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, use it in teaching. If exhorting, use it in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. Now the danger with this list, there's a danger to the Apostle Paul listing out these gifts. The danger is that you and I can be guilty of reading these lists and then in our minds saying, well, I don't have the gift of prophecy, so I don't have to do anything. Leading, I'm much more of a follower. I don't have that. Exhortation, I don't know what that is. Clearly, I don't have that gift. The danger in a list like this is us falling into the trap of the devil and thinking that because we can't identify our gift in this list, that we must not be gifted. Therefore, we can sit on the sidelines our entire faith journey and root others on that have found and identified their gifts. The thing that you have to know and understand is that you are gifted. It is a trap from the devil to make us think and get caught up in each of these specific gifts. These gifts are not a comprehensive list of all the gifting that God that created heaven and earth can do inside you. Think of this list as an artist's palette. One of those boards that they put their thumb through and they put the paint on it in little globs or dots, or some of you know what I'm talking about. Different colors on this thing, and then the gifting of God by the power of His Spirit is like Him taking the paintbrush and dipping it in a couple different colors and putting it on the canvas that's our life and making something beautiful out of a couple of different things. A little more white, a little less blue, throw some yellow in there and it's glorious. Is it identified in Scripture? No. Is it the power of God inside you? Yes, absolutely. We can never fall in the trap of thinking that because we're not listed in these lists here in 1 Corinthians, that we aren't gifted. You are gifted by God's grace. Everyone has been given a gift. Why did God give us gifts? Well, ultimately, it's for His glory. He gave us gifts so that He is glorified much in us, His body, the body of Christ. What do we do with the gifts? How does that work? Glad you asked. Verse 4. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. The second point, after we realize we've been gifted with something, God doesn't just waste His time inside us. We've been gifted by God with something. The second part is recognize we're part of a team. We're part of one body. Now, this one, brothers and sisters, it's easy to hear. We can sit there and say, yeah, I'm part of the team. You betcha. I know I've been gifted. Don't know what that is. I know I'm part of the team. It's easy to hear and it's easy to gloss over. It's easy to walk out today and forget. I preached a sermon a long time ago here called Don't Eat Lunch. Because after we leave, we can say, amen, best sermon I ever heard. We go eat lunch and we can't remember anything that we heard. It's easy to hear that we're gifted and part of a team, and then it's easy to gloss over and forget that. You and I are here for a purpose. You are not here by accident. I don't care what the schools teach. I don't care what the textbooks say and the science channels on TV say. You are not an accident. You are not a product of time and chance. You are perfectly, wonderfully, and fearfully made by God, the God of the universe. You are here with a purpose. All of us are. Now, are we all alike? Is everyone just exactly like Brother Pastor Kurt? By design, no. It would be awesome if my church was full of absolutely identical people to me, because we would agree on everything and we would do it perfectly. Amen? All right, are we all alike? No. By design, we are not alike. I'm going to read 4 and 5 again. Listen to it. Don't even read it. Just listen. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Unity in diversity. Think about this. We are knit and fit together. All the same? Absolutely not. I'm glad I don't have 8 hearts and no lungs. I'm glad I have the right parts in the right proportion in the right place. Knit and fit, divinely brought together, unity in diversity, members of one body from all sorts of different parts. I've been beginning the process of connecting with the new football coach at VCC. Coach Terrence Isaac, and he has requested some spiritual guidance for the team and himself, and like, absolutely, that sounds great. One of the things I've heard about the coach and the new team, and I'm sure it was the same with Coach Justin, that he's brought players from all over the country, all over states. They've never even heard of Minnesota, and the kids are here in Ely getting ready to play football. He has some guards he's brought in. He has some tackles, tight ends, wide receivers. He's got tailbacks, fullbacks. He's got a quarterback. He's got defensive linemen, defensive ends. He has some cornerbacks and safeties. He's got some linebackers all over the country, all different positions brought together to be one team. And the coach's desire is to unite these young men together, different parts, to fight against a common enemy as one team made up of so many different parts. You and I are part of a team. We're guards and tackles and quarterbacks and running backs and defensive linemen. Some of us are 400 pounds, maybe not figuratively, but sort of. And some of us are super fast. Some of us are super strong. We are different by design, by God's design, brought together to unite and fight against a common enemy, the darkness that's all around us. Look around the sanctuary. These are your teammates. What do we do now? We've been gifted. We're part of a team. What do we do now? We have to have a reality check. To be healthy, a healthy part of the body, reality check. Verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. For you and I to reenact our salvation story each and every day by being a living sacrifice, by living out service of our King, we can't get caught up thinking about ourselves. If Coach Isaac's guard is only thinking about himself and what he wants to do and what he thinks is best, and he doesn't block and make a hole for the running back, they're going nowhere. You and I can't get caught up even thinking about ourselves. Part of surrendering to Christ, becoming a slave of the Savior, is surrendering control over to Him and saying, I don't matter anymore. Jesus, you're the most important. Change me, make me new. I give my life to you. And we give up control. We don't matter. For us to be unifying and a healthy part of the body, don't even think of ourselves at all. Surrender to the King means humility. Humility in every area of our lives. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should. For us to be a healthy part of the team we know we've been gifted and are a part of, we have to have a healthy, honest, accurate evaluation of where we're at. Healthy, honest, and accurate evaluation and assessment of where we are with Christ as a part of the body. Are we exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, His characteristics? Are we living with humility, putting others' needs ahead of our own? Because each of you are vital. Vital and crucial and critical, but none is more important than anyone else. The guard and the tackle are not less important than the quarterback or the running back. Together, they make a powerful team. You and I, whatever you're gifting, it's not less important than anyone else, and it's not more important than anyone else. Do you need to evaluate? Do you need to evaluate where you're at? Yes. The second part of verse 3, instead think sensibly. Don't think too highly, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one of us. That's not saving faith, by the way. That's the faithfulness to trust Him to do what He wants through us, no matter if it doesn't make sense. Do you hear that? He didn't gift us with saving faith. That's a decision we have to make. There's a whole process. We won't go into the details today. But the faith that He's talking about, He's gifted us faith. It's to trust Him to do what He wants in us, even if we don't know what those colors that He's put together that make us beautiful, we don't know how that's going to work. We just trust Him to do it. He's gifted us with faith to be used for His glory. Don't think too highly, but think sensibly and accurately about our own selves. Take a hard look at where we're at. You possess a divine gift given by the Creator. Now ask yourself, are you using that gift in your life? Are you living sacrificially last week? Are you living in service this week? Are you using your gifting that He has given you for His glory? Jesus spoke about people that don't use their gifts that He has given. He said James tells us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that faith without works is dead. That's a whole sermon series in and of itself, but the gist is saving faith. Faith that saves produces works. Faith without works is dead. In the Greek language, there is no such thing as saving faith without works. It does not exist. Faith without works is dead. Jesus said that you will know believers by their fruit. You will see the evidence of Him inside His body. True believers, indwelt by the Spirit, gifted by the Spirit, doing what they've been bred and born and indwelt to do, you'll see it. You'll know believers by the fruit that they do. And He says that a good tree, saved person, cannot bear bad fruit. And an unsaved person, a bad tree, cannot produce good fruit. The parable of the fig tree, when Jesus went by and He wanted to grab a couple of figs, and it was bare, this tree that was there to bear fruit, to bear these figs, and He wanted some of its fruit. It was bare. He cursed it, and it shriveled up. We're created and then gifted with gifts to be part of a team, and we are to look at ourselves and evaluate, are we doing it? Are we truly using our gifts? Here at Ledge Rock, we have a vision, who we are. What is our calling to reach Ely and ultimately the world? And our vision couldn't be any simpler. It's two simple words: building relationships. We know that building a relationship with Jesus is the single most important thing that anyone can ever do. And we recognize that that is a lot easier to do together. So we have a strategy of simply building relationships with each other and with others with the sole purpose of helping them come to know Jesus or know Jesus better than they did yesterday. Building relationships. Our mission, the way we accomplish that, is four simple words: to know, grow, serve, and then go. To know Christ and to know each other. To grow in our relationship with Jesus and grow in our relationship with each other. To serve the Lord alone? Nope. Together. And then ultimately to go here, there, and everywhere with the name of Jesus together. Building relationships everywhere we go so that people can hear the good news of Jesus. Living for Christ is just reenacting our salvation story. Listen to verses 1 and 2 from last week. Therefore, because of everything that happened in the first 11 chapters, therefore, because of who God is, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Last week we looked at how we hear God's voice, how we know God's will, and that's by not being conformed to this world, but being transformed, being connected to the power of God. In that we can hear His voice and He speaks into our soul. As you and I, brothers and sisters, as we hear God's voice and as we discern His will, knowing His will, it means identifying and using our gifts, our God-given gifts, by God's grace. Let me say that again. Hearing His voice and seeking His will means identifying our gifts and then using our gifts with humility and unity to preserve and protect the body of Christ. Each other. We work together, understanding that we are different by God's design to bring glory to Him, to make each other better and stronger. When we do that, we advance the kingdom of Christ and we bring much glory to His name. Pray with me. Father, we thank You and we thank You for in Your grace not only saving us and getting us back right with You through Jesus, we thank You for that, but we also thank You for gifting us with gifts to be used for Your glory. And Lord, I pray now in the name of Jesus that You will help each one of us identify where we're at with You and what You've gifted in us, and then Lord, give us the courage to act on that. To actually do it, to live it, to be Your body, to be active with a humble heart, ready to be unifying, not wanting what we want, but wanting what You want, so that others can see Your power and glory in us and through us. And as us, as body of Christ, Lord, oh Lord, we need You to do that. We can't do it alone. So Father, forgive us for our lack of obedience. Help us this day start afresh a new walk with You. Oh Lord, we love You and we seek to know You better in Jesus' name. Amen.